listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We start, Jonas, I think, with the baseball. Is I believe, as I watch the reporting on this, they're all missing the main story. So why don't we go over and set what the story is that they're reporting, and maybe we'll discuss, or we will discuss, what I think they got wrong.
Yeah, this is according to SNY's Andy Martino, that there are at least six owners who don't want a 2020 season at all. Of course, this coming after yesterday, Rob Manfred saying he's not 100% confident we will have a season, and many players sending out the sentiment on social media of tell us when and where we want to play games.
I don't think this is a big deal. I think this is what fits into what we talked about yesterday. And I got to tell you, if you listen closely, we are predicting the future and not just on games. So what we said yesterday was when Manfred came out and said, I'm not so sure as I used to be, that this was a cue, this was a message to the players, you've reached the point of friction. You've reached the point where you're not going to win the next one. The owners have conceded a lot of points along the way, and we'll get into those. That doesn't change historically that the players have conceded more, but in this issue, the players rolled them in this negotiation. We said it yesterday. We'll tick through why that's the case. The owners had to let them, they felt like they had reached the point of we can't accept this next thing. What that next thing was, the players wanted to sign the agreement, accept the agreement, and then retain the right to file a legal grievance about the very thing they're agreeing to. It's not that, oh, in the future, if you do something wrong, owners, you know, we shouldn't, you know, we want to file a grievance. Yeah, that would always be maintained. You can't sign away future rights. And I guess you could, maybe, I don't even know. But it would never happen because then the owners could do anything and there'd be no recourse. But literally, and Jonas, let's start here. The reporting went that the real disgruntledness amongst the owners, the sense of, oh, we got to put a stop to this, was over the weekend. The players were talking to media members, or the player representatives were talking to media members and saying, yeah, we're going to agree to the number, they, you know, 48, whatever it is. And then we're going to file a $1 billion grievance about it right pretty much as it happens. Is that what you've read and understand?
Yeah, I saw that out there. And there's been so many reports, but that was one of the ones that was alluded to over the weekend, if I recall. Yeah.
And was there other reports that would contradict that one or other reports about other things?
There's just other reports about other things, different details of the grievance or the disagreements and what really is a sticking point for certain owners and players.
Yeah, so what we're saying is, let's say you and I were having a dispute with Fox. We said, look, we are the fastest growing show on this network, buddy. And we're not the biggest show, but we're the fastest growing show. And I want to have lox for lunch. I want there to be fresh lox and capers every day. And they said, okay, you got it. And then we said, oh, by the way, we're probably going to sue you for something related to this agreement right after you give us the lox. Are they going to want to give us the lox, or are they going to want to say, wait a minute, what are you going to sue us over? Well, the lox. Well, we're giving you what you're asking for. Yeah, but we think we should have $1 billion more. I mean, this sounds goofy. Think about what the players are doing. If the reporting's correct, we can always caveat it. They're saying, tell us where and when and where even. All right. But by the way, once you do, we're going to sue you for it. I mean, the owners, from their perspective, and we'll go over that perspective, are losing money in the regular season. Every game they play, they're losing $460,000. That's their number. We can say, well, maybe their number's lying. It probably is lying, but it's a negative number. You know how you know that? What is one of our basic straight out of Vegas premises? It's easy to talk. Look at the actions. The fact that the number, and it's 640,000, make sure we got that right, per game is their number. And they're saying, we want to play less regular season games. And Jonas, wouldn't you agree? That's the actions the owners are taking, meaning the players are saying, we want more regular season games. The owners are saying, we want less because the money is in the playoffs. And even if they lose 640 per game or 660, or I'm sorry, check that, 460 per game, and they play, let's say, 48 games, they still will make money because in the playoffs, they make $800 million. So there's still some profit by playing 48 games. But every game additional, 49, 50, 51, they're losing more and more money, and they're not gaining anything in the playoff side. So this is about keeping your losses reasonable in the regular season versus making your money in the postseason. Their actions, the owners are saying they want less regular season games. I have no reason to doubt, do you, that they're losing money per regular season game, or why would they not want to play?
Yeah, the less games, I think the better it is for the owners. It's similar at certain restaurants who don't have the budget to stay open all day. What they'll do is they'll close after about 2:30 and open back up at 5. That extra 3 hours there and the cost of labor during that time, they'd rather just split the shifts and have less people on the clock so they can. It's better for their business. The owners would rather have less games because it's better for their business.
That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell. That's interesting. We're straight out of Vegas. Because what you're saying is it's profitable during lunch, it's profitable during dinner, it's not profitable in between. But here's the question. If they started closing all the way to 5, now you might not be a viable restaurant anymore because some people want to eat, let's say, an early dinner. It's just like this. I think the owners would love to play 11 regular season games or something and get right to the postseason.
Yeah.
But there's an amount of games that's not viable, that if you don't have at least a certain number, and I don't know what that number is, but 48 feels viable to me, meaning I would feel like at the end of that, you'd have a pretty good idea who was good. Because if a 7-game playoff is supposed to be able to help you decide who's the better of two teams, 48 games seems like it could give you an idea who's the playoff teams and who's not. Now, 12 games? No. So I don't know what that number is, but the owners are figuring, we'll get that number high enough people think it's viable, but not so high that we keep losing on those additional games. What number works for you just in your gut that it's a reasonable regular season?
Half the season. I would need 81 games.
Well, then we don't have a reasonable one,
yeah,
right?
Like that's because if you look at last year, I think the Washington Nationals were 19-31 through 50 games, and they won a World Series. So if you cut off the season at 50 games, your potential World Series champ wouldn't even make the postseason. I would need 81 games.
But that reinforces one of our other straight out of Vegas basic premises, which is there is no truth. You can have a Super Bowl champion, but if you somehow went back in time and replayed it, chances are they don't win, right? And you're right. In that scenario, Nationals wouldn't even made the playoffs. But you know what? If there was a 320-game regular season, you know, 324, it would have been a situation where sometimes a team that didn't even make the playoffs would win it, right? So to some degree, this is probability. This is the randomness of the world. We just try to minimize the randomness of the world.
Right.
Though I can't lie because I listened to your answer. You're the guy that says you want more randomness in things because you don't want it to be predetermined. That the idea of, oh, let's have a few one game and done things, it'll be exciting. And when I say, you know, that feels like there might be a winner that shouldn't be there. And you're like, I don't care. It's exciting.
Yeah, in the postseason, yes. But I do want the regular season
to be max randomness during the postseason.
Absolutely. This is for my entertainment purposes. I want more games and I want more teams involved for my entertainment purposes.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So, RJ, we are now 1 day in or 2 days into another crucial week, quote-unquote, in Major League Baseball for the negotiations of a 2020 season, and still nothing on board yet between the players and the owners.
It's our belief, and we talked about this in the first segment, that the owners have been rolled. They've been dominated in this negotiation, and that's fine. That means probably the players were in the right. That's the way it usually goes. Not always, but the way it usually goes. And finally, the idea that the owners said, no, we do not accept that we can make this agreement, and then you file a grievance pretty much right after for $1 billion. That is the heart of this. My understanding, it seems like shared assumptions are, if the players would say, based on these terms, there's no grievance-worthy infraction, we'll move forward without grievances, which is really effectively a lawsuit, is what a grievance is. I think this is a done deal. Manfred would not have said what he said about his certainty on the season unless he felt confident that based upon the terms as they were being discussed, that they were going to agree. When he heard reporting, when baseball, the owners, heard of the players talking to reporters and saying, hey, we're going to file a $1 billion grievance as soon as we're done with signing the agreement, they said, oh, whoa, enough. We're not okay with that. The idea of now the players saying, Manfred's reneging, that's BS. It's not like what was going to happen. Manfred was somehow able to dictate what the players do. I usually don't agree with the owners. In fact, I hate owners to some degree because I think they give a bad name to capitalism. They do get to be above it all, and they don't really care what normal people care about. And maybe it's unavoidable, right? I'm not a billionaire. I don't know. But once you are different than me and you've got more power than me, I'm not going to like you too much unless you use that power very, very judiciously, very, very lovingly. And most billionaires don't. So I am not defending. To me, the worst cliche in sports today is billionaires, millionaires. I'll go with the millionaires. No, they're the multimillionaires and the billionaires are the same. We're on one side and they're on the other. Doesn't mean we can't work together. But I make really good money, 99.99% money. I'm not a multimillionaire in cash and I'm not a billionaire. And I promise you that me and pick a thing, the school teacher, the janitor, the whatever that is a working class person, me and that person has a lot more in common than either of us do to the guy who's making 10, 15 million a year, who's living a life on private jets. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. Doesn't mean we're good people. But this idea that the millionaires get, we're going to side with them because they're not the billionaires. No, they're together. It might not seem like it. Just like the Republicans and the Democrats are often together against us because they want theirs and then we'll get ours. Same thing here. And it's a very powerful concept. If you actually look at wrestling, and there's so many lessons in wrestling because it's like a movie. That's what it is. And what happened, you're a wrestling fan, right, Jonas?
Yeah, yeah.
So Vince McMahon bought, there was the wrestling, the Tuesday night, I think, wars there were, and TNT and TBS versus WWF and all that. What ended up happening was when Vince McMahon, WWE, now, won, he said, oh, let's bring in, we'll have that on one day, I think it was Friday, and then we'll have our thing on Tuesday, and then they'll battle each other. Like, I'll own both companies, but we'll have them competing.
Yeah.
Right? You remember that?
Yeah, it was the Monday Night Wars, and after
Monday. Okay.
It was WCW that went under, he bought them and then brought in certain guys from that organization to be the quote-unquote intruders into WWE, sort of the outsiders coming in.
There was that, and then there was the whole UPN Friday night. So
yeah.
What they've done multiple times.
Competing shows.
Yeah, it's like saying, I own it all, but that isn't any fun. We want there to be competition, contentiousness. So we'll have them fighting each other, but we all make all the money. Well, wake up, Democrats, Republicans. Yeah, they each want to sit at the head of the table, whoever's president, whoever's head of the Senate. But, you know, Chuck Schumer has a lot more in common with the other senators than he does with you and me. And so does Mitch McConnell. I mean, this isn't Republican or Democrat. If you notice, whatever you want to say about Trump, when have you ever seen a party fight against their own like they did against Trump between the time he was going to be the nominee, it seemed, and the nomination itself? Those couple months when they thought they could still do something. I mean, if there is any indication of how much they're in it together, it's that. Is they don't fight the other party as hard as they were fighting, the Republicans were fighting Trump. Now, when he won, they were like, huh, what can we do? Now we got to kiss his butt. They're always going to do what keeps them in the mansion.
It's like a boxing promoter or a UFC promoter. He always wants his guys underneath his promotion to fight each other because he gets to see the fight and keep all the money.
And that, in that case, though, they actually have competition. But there is no competition for the Republicans and the Democrats that's legit, that can do anything.
Yeah.
And there's no competition in baseball except the major leagues is it. And they seem to be fighting each other. And they legitimately are. They do want to win, just like, you know, the Republican wants to beat the Democrat and vice versa in any contest. But that's secondary to not letting this all be disrupted. We've got an environment that there's only one baseball league that matters. There's only one two-party system that matters, right? The Democrats, Republicans, it's one thing. And anyone that thinks the players and us are on the same sides, why don't you say, hey, had a tough year. Can I hang out with you at Christmas? That's people on the same sides, right? But if a player needed to hang out with the owner, he could. It might be in the guest house, but he'd be there. Right or wrong, Jones?
Yeah, no, you're correct. Yeah,
Now, if you want to hang out with me, that's not going to happen either. So I'm not saying I'm your best buddy. I'm just saying that we can have lunch maybe. But to me, I always appreciate a guy that's going to tell me where the limits are, though. At least I know he's telling the truth. I always tell my wife, she's a good cook. And she'll cook something and I'll say, I didn't like that. And she'll get mad. Then I say, but you know, the fact I just told you that means when I say I like it, it's true. If someone never tells you anything negative, how do you know what's true? When they tell you it's negative, then you think, wait, they're willing to tell me that they don't like it. That means they like it when they say they like it. A little tip for your future, Jonas, as you get married.
I've already been down that road, trust me.
Yeah, it's hard to convince them, I can't lie. RJ Bell, Straight Out of Vegas.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Apparently, part of the negotiation, and Brian Windhorst was talking about this on ESPN, is the league is saying, we won't test, I think it's just for marijuana. Mackenzie, check on that. So heroin, yeah, you will test probably, but we are not testing for weed when you show up at the bubble. I mean, it sounds like a party that no one wants to go to,
right.
And they're saying, I mean, how does that, like, what's your first thought on hearing that?
I think that's them understanding that if we're going to keep these guys quarantined, at least try and keep them entertained while they're quarantined.
See, okay, so here's the terminology. They will not test for recreational drug use, but they will test for drugs of abuse. Now, anyone that knows a true wake-and-bake pothead that doesn't think that's a drug of abuse, when used like that, I mean, Jonas, you're in L.A. I've never noticed this. You know, you're still at home. You've got like a T-shirt on. How many? What do you got? Like 14 tattoos on your arm? How many tattoos?
I only got two.
But it's terrible. Like a foot long.
Yeah, one of them's bigger than the other, for sure.
So I'm guessing you've been around some potheads in your life, correct?
Yeah, but ironically, I've actually never even smoked a cigarette.
Might be thinking he's lying, but he gets upset if there's not enough hand wipes that have the right kind of germ killer. So, but the Wake and Bakers, it's a different thing.
A whole different lifestyle. Yeah.
But I get it. Weed has been demonized and historically, and that's certainly changed. So, what you said is what Windhorst said, but I think it misses the point. If the league said, we're not going to test you when you leave the bubble or when you're in the bubble, but by saying we're not going to test you when you enter the bubble, what does that have to do with dealing with the bubble? It's about the drug use before you get there, right?
Well, I mean, everybody needs a beer at the airport bar before they get on the plane, right? You know, it's like...
This is saying, wink, wink, we know for sure that they're smoking themselves silly right now, and we don't want anyone not to come because they think they're going to get tested when they show up, right?
Yeah. That's
every exactly young right. man feels the need to let the badger loose now and again.
I mean, so otherwise, what do you think? We're Straight Out of Vegas breaking down drug usage. Owners and players being just as different than us or equally different from us. What do you think the main story of from Friday to now about the NBA and how it looks less likely, but still, what do you think?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.